We're in 1 Samuel chapter 25 this morning. And so if you have your books, the passages of Scripture are in the books. And if you don't, you can look at your Bible and use your Bible as we go along. So far in this series of lessons, we've had four lessons. And the subject has been conflict. And again, we've mentioned every week that conflict can just either range from a simple disagreement to open warfare. And if we have any relationships at all, we have the potential for conflict. And it can last just a moment or it can last a lifetime. And all conflict is not bad. Different ideas, different opinions are good. Conflict becomes bad when we don't handle it right, when we don't handle it according to biblical principles, when we don't handle it in a way that's honoring Christ. And so we've had four lessons so far. Each one of those lessons has dealt with a source of conflict and then the biblical way to address it. And they've all used Bible examples. You remember our first lesson used Mary and Martha as the examples. Two good ladies, two Christian ladies that believed that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, that had a different opinion of what should be done at a certain moment when he was in their home teaching. Both of the priorities they had were right, but they were different, and it caused conflict. And again, the Bible principle for how to handle conflict in those situations was to determine what God's priority is. And then, you know, both of you follow God's priority, and the conflict would be resolved. Second week, we talked about Saul and David and how sometimes jealousy causes conflict. And the biblical principle was, following David's example in that lesson, was to sometimes we just let God handle the conflict. David said, I'm not going to fight you, Saul. I'm just going to let God handle this. Third week, we talked about Abraham and Lot and how sometimes the conditions, the environment in which we live causes conflict. And the biblical principle in that lesson is that sometimes we just have to give. We just have to give in. Let the other person win. And that's what Abraham did. Just I said, Lot, you pick, and I'll move in the other direction. And then last week, we talked about Paul and Peter. And it was sort of in contrast to the lesson before. Again, the lesson before was sometimes conflict needs to be resolved by giving in, where there's a biblical principle involved. We don't give in. We don't compromise. We confront the issue, as Paul did to Peter in our lesson last week. This morning, we're going to take a little bit different tack. We're going to look at conflict from a different perspective. And the subject of our lesson this morning is, what do we do when we see two other people that are in conflict, and neither one of them is handling the conflict in a biblical way? Neither one of them is employing the biblical principles that we've learned the last 4 weeks to resolve the conflict. It's so easy in cases like that to say, hey, this is none of my business. It's between the two of them. They need to resolve it. They need to fix it. And the point of the lesson is this morning is that's not necessarily the correct course of action. That's not necessarily the course of action that God wants us to take. Sometimes he wants us to step in, and that's the title of the lesson this morning, to step in and deal and help the two people deal with the conflict and help them to try to come to some resolution. And so this morning, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 25, and we're going to look at the conflict that existed between David and a man named Nabal. The conflict was not being handled right by either one of them. The conflict was about to escalate, and someone stepped in to help resolve the conflict. That someone was Nabal's wife, a lady by the name of Abigail, and she stepped in and kept the conflict from escalating and really kept David from doing something that would bring dishonor not only to himself, but to his God. So if you have your Bibles or your books, let's look at the first passage of Scripture, which is 1 Samuel chapter 25, beginning in verse 14, going down through verse 17. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." All right, so I want to take a couple of minutes. I want to back up and I want to tell you the beginning of the story, because we're coming in about halfway in verse number 14. 1 Samuel chapter 25 opens with the death of Samuel. Remember, Samuel was the little was a man that was dedicated to God by his mother before he was born. He was promised back to God by Hannah before she even conceived and had him. He became, after Eli, he became the prophet and priest of Israel. He was the one that anointed Saul to be the first king. He was the one that anointed David to take over after Saul. And so in verse 1, we read about his death and burial, and it was a time of, it really was a time of national mourning for the nation of Israel. In verse 2, we meet a very rich man named Nabal. He was a descendant of Caleb. He lived in the village of Maon, and the Bible says that he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. Now, back then, they measured your wealth by how many animals that you had. And for somebody to have 4,000, 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats made them very wealthy, very wealthy. So, the Bible says that this man was shearing his sheep. In other words, he was cutting the wool off of his sheep in the village of Carmel, which is about 30 miles south-southeast of Jerusalem. And his name means foolish. If you really look at the Hebrew, it not only means foolish, it's comparable to our word stupid, senseless, vile. Now, it was probably not the name his mother gave him, but it was probably what people called him as they dealt with him, as they did business with him, as they interacted with him. They said, this guy is a fool. He's vile. He was true to his name, because the Bible says that he was harsh and evil in his dealings with other people. But he was married to a woman named Abigail, who the Bible says was of good understanding. In other words, she was intelligent and was beautiful. And again, you wonder how a man like Nabal got a wife like Abigail. And Bible scholars says it's probably an arranged marriage, because somebody as smart as she was wouldn't have picked out a man like that. So it was probably arranged by their fathers. But David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep. Now, David led a group of about 600 men at this time. Okay, he wasn't king yet. Saul was still alive. Saul was still the king. But he sent 10 of his men to Nabal. And he said, here's what I want you to tell him. I want you to tell him a couple of things. First of all, I want you to convey to him my good wishes for him. Just tell him that I hope he enjoys a long life, and I hope that his family and everything he owns prospers. So David did not come, he did not send these men with a message of a threat or a message of intimidation. He sent, you know, very politely and courteously, he said, just, you know, convey my good wishes for him and his family. But then I want you to remind Nabal that how we helped take care of his flocks when they were in the wilderness. His shepherds were in Carmel. That's where David and his men were staying at that time. And they prevented others, not only people, but animals, from coming in and attacking Nabal's flocks and killing some of the sheep and taking some of them. And after you remind him of that, just, you know, he's shearing his sheep, and when they sheared sheep back in that time, they usually had a big feast and invited all their neighbors in, had lots of food and lots of drink. Just ask him to contribute what he can for our support. Just, you know, ask him to, you know, send us some of the food and send us some of the drink that they were enjoying as they were shearing their sheep. Now, again, usually when people shear their sheep, they did have a big feast. I mean, they killed some of the sheep to eat, and they had bread and all sorts of fruit and something to drink. And so, and again, I'll remind you, back in this day, it was the custom and the expectation, almost your duty as a homeowner and a landowner, that if people were traveling or visiting your land, you entertained them and provided for their needs. Sort of like we mentioned on Wednesday night when we were studying the book of 2 John. Back in those days, back in these days, inns were not plentiful, and those that were there were not very nice. And so, again, it was the custom, and it was, it was prescribed in the Bible that when visitors come to your land, to your home, you were to entertain them and feed them and provide for them. And so the request that David made was very reasonable. He was a visitor in Nabal's land. Nabal, again, it was his duty to help provide for David's needs. And again, God had blessed him with a lot of wealth, a lot of animals, and the feast that he was throwing, it's like the meals that we have here, there's always lots of leftovers. And so David wasn't asking Nabal to take anything away from his workers or his neighbors. He was just asking him to share the bounty. Now, true to his nature, true to his name, Nabal refused. And if you go back and read earlier in the book, in this chapter, you could see where Nabal says, "Shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh, who have been killed for my shearers, and give them to somebody I don't know? I don't know you guys. Why should I take all this that's mine, that has been prepared, you know, for my workers, and why should I give it to a group of guys who I don't even know why you're here? I mean, maybe you sort of run away because of a reason." And again, this was a time when David was fleeing from Saul, where Saul was chasing him, trying to kill him. But you can see Nabal's selfishness as he says, "Oh, this is all mine. Why should I share it to you?" So the 10 men that David sent went back to David, and they reported what happened. And of course, this angered David, and he armed 400 men. He said, "Put your swords on, get your weapons," and he left 200 to guard their gear, so to speak. And he said, "We're going to go after Nabal. David hadn't decided what to do yet, but he was mad. And he said, "We're going to go teach this guy a lesson." Now, this is where we pick up verse 14. But one of the young men told Abigail, one of the servants of Nabal, one of the servants that was there when these 10 men came to Nabal. And he went, again, back to Nabal's wife, to Abigail, to tell her what had happened. He said, "David sent men to salute our master, to greet our master. They did not threaten. They did not say anything that was intimidating. In fact, they came and expressed David's good wishes for our master, but Nabal," the Bible says, "railed on them." And basically what that word means is he shrieked at them. He screamed at them. He scorned them. The word actually comes from the sound that a vulture makes when it's swooping down on its prey. So he said, that's how our master, that's how your husband, so to speak, responded to these men. And he went on to say, "David's men were very good to us. I mean, when we were out in the wilderness, we did not suffer any hurt. We did not suffer any loss. As long as we were conversant," that word doesn't mean what it does today. It doesn't mean as long as we were talking to them. It means to walk or to live. He says, so as long as we were living among them, as long as we were living in the same place, they were like a wall to us. They were a wall of protection. day and night. I mean, we didn't even have to post guards around the sheep to watch for the animals and, you know, predators that would come, because we felt so secure in their protection, because they protected us. And then he said this: know and consider what thou wilt do. And what he was saying is, Abigail, I want you to really think about what you need to do, because evil, and that word evil means harm or trouble or disaster, is determined against our master. Now again, I don't think this servant knew what David was going to do, but he had just an inkling, I think, given to him by God, that trouble was coming. I mean, I don't think he was a spy and heard David telling his men to arm, but he knew just how things went down. He knew the way David came. He knew what David's men had done for them, and he knew how Nabal had responded to them. He knew that that trouble was coming, not only to Nabal, but to his household. So that would include him, a servant of Nabal. And Abigail, that would include you, his wife. Trouble is coming because he's such a son of Belial. Now again, this is one of his servants talking. That word Belial means worthless, good for nothing, wicked. And when he says, called him a son of Belial, it means he exemplifies. His whole person is worthless and vile and wicked. And again, he was talking to Abigail, who probably knew that better than anybody else, because she had to live with him. And he says that you need to consider and think about what you need to do in this situation, because trouble is coming. He's such a son of Belial that no man can speak to him. And that's probably why this young man was talking to Abigail as opposed to going to Nabal and saying, hey, master, you need to consider what you just did, because I think you sort of made these guys mad. And I think trouble's going to come as a result. He couldn't go to Nabal because he knew Nabal wouldn't listen to him. And so he went to Abigail. Again, she was known for her wisdom. And the servant probably knew that he could get a hearing with her. So here we have a case where an act of kindness is unappreciated and basically rejected, not even acknowledged. It led to conflict. And that conflict led to the potential for harm, not only to the guilty, Nabal, but to all the innocent, his household, his wife, his servants. Abigail was made aware of the conflict. Now, she had a choice to make. Do I get involved or not? Now, we at times have to make that same choice. We become aware of conflict between two people. The easiest course of action is to just step back and say, well, that's their problem. It's none of my business. They just need to handle it and resolve it themselves. But if neither of the parties involved is trying to resolve the conflict with biblical principles, if neither of the parties involved are trying to resolve it in a way that would bring honor to Christ, then we have a responsibility as Christians. We have a responsibility, especially if they are Christians, to step in. We have a responsibility to them, because the conflict may result in harm to one of them, and we have a responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ to watch out for one another. We have a responsibility to the innocent people, because conflict usually just doesn't stay between two people, especially if it goes on and on. It spreads, and it begins to affect innocent people. And so we have a responsibility to protect the innocent. And then we have a responsibility to God, because going back to our lesson about Abraham and Lot, remember Abraham said, hey, there shouldn't be any conflict between our herdmen. We're brothers. We're part of the same family. Conflict between Christians harms the cause of Christ. Conflict between Christians hurts the cause of God. And we have a responsibility to God to, when we see two people that are in conflict and that conflict doesn't seem to be getting resolved, to step in and see if we can help. Even though we may not want to, even though we find it uncomfortable. God may have put us on the scene for that very purpose, to step in and to be a peacemaker. And you remember what Jesus called peacemakers in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, I want to point out to you before we go on, I think there was some risk to this young man to go to Abigail. I mean, he wasn't their son, he was just a servant. And I'm sure that if Nabal had heard what this young man had did, he would probably be very upset with this servant and probably treat him accordingly. And he didn't know what kind of reception, although I think he probably knew Abigail and her reputation for being wise, but he didn't really know what kind of reception he was going to get from Abigail. But if this servant hadn't done what he had done, then Abigail would not have done what she eventually did. And here's what I liken that to. Sometimes you are aware of conflicts that are going on that I'm not aware of. And you hesitate to come and tell me because, well, nobody wants to be a tattletale. Nobody wants to tell on somebody else. But if the Lord doesn't lead you to step in and try to help the conflict, then you need to tell somebody. You need to tell the preacher. You need to tell one of the deacons. Because, again, if the conflict goes unresolved, it will escalate. It will hurt the two people that are involved. It will hurt innocent people, and it will hurt the cause of Christ. And so we have a responsibility when we see it to act. All right, let's move on. We're going to skip a few verses. We're going to go down to verse 23. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. And let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thy audience, and hear the words of thy handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth," again, notice the small L, she said, "Now therefore, my Lord," talking to David, "as the Lord," capital L, "as God liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withheld thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thy handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days." So again, we skipped a few verses. Let me tell you what happened in those verses. Abigail reacted quickly. She prepared a sizable peace offering. 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 measures of parched corn, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs. She was my kind of cook. She had more dessert than anything else. 200 cakes of figs. And she put them on donkeys. And she said to some servants, she says, "I want you to go before me. I'm going to follow you." And the Bible says she did not tell Nabal. She did not tell her husband what she was about to do. In the meantime, David had been stewing about the response he got from Nabal. Here's what he was thinking. He said, "I kept all that this fellow had. I mean, my men were a wall. We didn't let nothing through. There was nothing missing from his flocks. And instead of appreciating it," and by the way, remember, David was a shepherd. David knew what it was to defend his flock. He knew what it was to fight the bear and the lion that were coming after his sheep. He knew what it was to protect. And so he knew the service that he and his men had done to Nabal, because he had been right there. He had been a shepherd that was responsible for protecting his flocks. He says, and I kept this guy's flocks. He did not appreciate. In fact, he insulted me. And he made an oath. He said, God, I'm going to kill all the men of, I'm going to kill him, and I'm going to kill all the men of his household. I'm going to eliminate his family line. I mean, and again, I won't use the language that's used in the Bible. You can read it yourself. If you've read it, you know what I'm talking about. But he said, I'm going to kill them all. I mean, the more he thought about it, the angrier he got. And so in verse 23, where we pick up, Abigail has sent this offering, and she's following it. And the Bible says that when she saw David, she acted quickly to pay homage to him as a servant to a master. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Just think about it. That was in contrast to what Nabal did. Nabal was offensive to David. Abigail was respectful. Nabal agitated David. Abigail honored him. Nabal was proud. Abigail was humble. Nabal was vile. Abigail was contrite. And she said, let this iniquity be on me. Now, there's some people that think the iniquity was for this woman to approach David, because back in those days, women did not do that. They did not approach a man that was not their husband. But I think the iniquity that she was talking about was the iniquity that Nabal did to David and his men. She was taking responsibility, even though she wasn't there. And we're going to see later where she says it again. She says she was taking responsibility for Nabal's actions. And she said, David, please let me talk to you. And please listen to what I have to say. Again, it was unusual for a woman to approach a man that she did not know, a man that she had not met, and strike up a conversation. And so she very contritely asked David to just please listen to what I have to say. Let me speak to you. And she said, don't regard this man of Belial. In other words, don't take to heart. Don't internalize anything that he says, because he's just like his name. His name means fool, and he is a fool. Folly is within him. And again, it's not just stupidity, it's moral perversion. The Hebrew word for folly suggests one that was not only that paid no attention to God or man. He had no respect for either one. She says, I didn't see your men. I did not hear that they had come and the request that they had made. If I had, things would have been different. And again, Abigail provides a wonderful example of graciousness. I mean, she was gracious to David in giving him this offering, but she was also gracious to Nabal because she was taking the blame for what he did. I mean, she was saying, blame this on me. I mean, I didn't hear him. If I would have been there, things would have been different, but I wasn't there, so blame it on me. And she was basically, and she saw herself, and David came to see her the same way, as a messenger from God to David. By her coming to David and basically stopping him from shedding blood and taking vengeance on his own, she was keeping David from doing something that would not only bring dishonor to him. I mean, killing these men and taking vengeance himself would be something that we would expect Saul to do, King Saul to do. And she says, look, God doesn't want you to do this. God doesn't want you to take vengeance. She didn't say this, but this was what she's implying. Remember, God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And so if you'll listen to me and change your mind about what you want to do, you'll not only protect your honor and your reputation, but you'll protect your God's honor and his reputation, because he sent me to you to keep you from doing what you've set out to do. And then she calls attention to this, all this food that she sent him, and says, hey, take this food and drink, and give it to your men. Take this blessing and give it to your men. And then she says, forgive me my trespass. Again, forgive me for not being there when your men came. Forgive me for the reception that you got from my husband. And then she sort of spoke prophetically to David. And again, I think she was speaking as God's messenger. She said, the Lord's going to make you a sure house. In other words, he's going to give you a lineage, a family, a dynasty. He's going to build you a sure house. And the battles that you fight, they're God's battles. You're really doing God's work. I know that. As you fight these battles, they're not your battles. They're his battles. You're trying to bring glory to him. And she says, no evil has been found in thee. No wrongdoing, no wickedness, no trouble. And that was true. I mean, at this point in his life, everything we read about David was, I think, just the way that God wanted him. I mean, he hadn't got in, I know he's going to fall later, but at this point in his life, he'd been obedient to God. He'd done everything that God wanted him to do. And what Abigail was reminding him is, you have been a man of honor. You have been above reproach. Please don't do this thing that you're thinking about doing, because it will bring disreproach to your reputation. And it will bring disreproach to your God. Now, again, if we're going to step in and help resolve conflict between two others, we need to do it with a humble spirit. We don't need to go in and say, hey, now look, I'm superior to both of you. I know more than both of you. Let me tell you how to fix this. If you take that attitude, it's probably going to create more conflict between you and them. And so you need to do it with a deep, sincere spirit of humility. You need to do it depending on the Holy Spirit's leadership and wisdom. You can't do it on your own, but you can do it with the Holy Spirit's leadership and wisdom. And you need to do it the same way that Abigail did with David. You need to kindly and, again, contritely confront the problem and remind the folks that are involved that you're not only going to bring harm to yourself, but you're going to bring harm to innocent people, and you're going to bring harm to the cause of Christ if the conflict is not resolved. All right, quickly, let's move on to the last passage of Scripture, verse 32. This is David's response to Abigail. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with my own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light, here's these words I didn't want to say, but I'll just go ahead and read them, any that pisseth against the wall. In other words, all the men. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. Now, David could have dismissed Abigail and said, this is a woman, she shouldn't even be talking to me. I'm not going to listen to what she says. I'm not going to listen to her argument or to her appeal. But he didn't. He recognized her as a messenger from God. And by the way, sometimes God sends messages to us in people who we least expect to hear it from. And if we're not listening, we miss it. Sometimes a little child who doesn't know anything at all about what's going on can say something at the urging of God. And if we're listening, we have to say, that was sent to me by God. God used that little boy or that little girl's mouth to convey this message to me. And so David recognized this woman as a messenger from God, and he recognized that God was using her to accomplish a purpose in his life. And in response to her message to him, he offered a threefold blessing. He said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. What he was saying, praise God. Praise God that he sent me this message through you and kept me from doing something stupid. Now again, that's not in the Hebrew. I'm just telling you what I think David was saying. He said, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for sending me this message through this lady to keep me from messing up, to keep me from doing something that you don't want me to do. And then he said, blessed be thy advice. He saw God's favor in her counsel. He saw God's concern, God's discernment in the advice that she gave him. He said, blessed, praise God for the advice that you've given me. And then he says, blessed be thou. May God's blessing be upon you. And notice, he used her very words as he blessed her. He says, you've kept me from shedding blood. You've kept me from taking vengeance into my own hands. And he said, you've made a difference. I mean, if you hadn't come, all these guys would be dead before morning. Every male in your household would have been wiped out before the morning light comes. David received her gift. He said, go in peace. Go back home in peace. I've hearkened to your voice. I've accepted thy person. I've heard what you've said, and I've granted your request. There's going to be no more conflict between me and your husband. All those innocent people that were going to get hurt, none of them are going to get hurt. And God's purpose is going to be achieved because you've kept me again from doing something that would bring reproach to my name and to my God. And so, all this happened because Abigail was willing to intervene. She was willing to get involved. Now, let me just be Paul Harvey for a minute and tell you the rest of the story. While all this was going on, Nabal was having a big feast. He was getting drunk. When she came back to the house, he was so drunk that she said, I can't tell him what I did now. I'm going to wait till tomorrow. So in the morning, after he had sobered up, she told him what she had done. She told him how close he was to have been killed and his household wiped out by David. And the Bible says that when she told him all this, that his heart died within him and he became as stone. In other words, he had a stroke and was paralyzed. 10 days later, he died. And when David heard it, he said, Lord, thank you for taking vengeance on this man. And he sent word to Abigail. He said, Abigail, I'd like you to become my wife. I'd like you to marry me. And she accepted, and she became David's wife. And again, when we see conflict going on between two people, it in all probability will be uncomfortable for us to get involved. But that's what God wants us to do at times. And if we'll do it, God will bless. God will bless. I mean, if the conflict's resolved, we can't point to ourselves and say, hey, look at this good thing I've done. We need to point to God and say, look at this good thing that God has done. Thank you, Lord, for using me to be an instrument in what you accomplished. And so again, we need to be aware. We need to notice when conflict exists. And then again, if the Lord's not leading us to get involved personally, then we need to tell somebody that can. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this lesson. And I pray that we not only hear it, but we take it to heart, we'd heed it, and that we would be those peacemakers that you've called us to be. I pray with us that you go with us into the service that follows. I pray, Father, that as we lift up your Son and claim the promise that you'll draw all men to him, that we'll see those that don't know Jesus this morning come to him and receive him as their Savior. Just bless the service. Help us to honor our Savior in all that we do. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.